Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultralife. My name is Mike, and this week we are joined by somebody that I first met at the infamous Swami Shuffle in 2024, and then I got to run a recent race with him, and turns out that I get to run with him again in 2026, the Swami Shuffle, and I'm telling you, this guy is an amazing, amazing person and an even more amazing runner. I'm just so excited to have him on. So, Mr. Peter Niwee, are you ready to go for a run?
Sure.
So, sure. Peter, tell us a little bit about who you are, where you came from, all that good stuff, what you do for a living, and we'll roll from there.
Yeah, I originally came from Burma, now they call Myanmar. I came here for political asylum and as a university student in 1989.
Wow.
And came alone. Yeah, that's why I'm here. And now I work for Scepter, like Philadelphia train company. And I'm the technical instructor for the City Rail department.
Okay. Awesome. And so are you married? Any kids?
Yes, I'm married and with one young son. He's almost 16. So
awesome.
I'm 55.
That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about coming from Burma to the United States. How did all that come about?
Well, I didn't plan to come to United States. Thing happened back home, student uprising started in 1987, and then really got bad in 1988. So they start arresting all the university students, whoever involved in the uprising. So
okay.
And that's the reason why 1989, if I stayed there long enough, I'd probably in the prison for a long time. So my parents want me to get out of the country. So I came here.
That's
and
wild.
I was very lucky.
Okay. Wow. And so what are conditions like in Burma today? Is it still, it's still kind of in an upheaval, isn't it?
Yeah, really bad. Worse than when I left 1989.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Military government took over fully and then systematically killing all the ethnic groups.
Wow.
So the whole country is like a war zone right now. And nowhere is safe.
That's crazy.
I couldn't go home.
So when did you, have you always been a runner, or when did the running start?
No, I really don't like running.
Right. I'm going to believe you on that one. Uh-huh.
I'm not a runner. I was a cyclist.
Okay.
For long distance cyclist for 24 years.
Wow.
And maybe a little bit more than 10 years ago, I had a really bad panic attack. And I couldn't ride the bicycle anymore. So I saw the therapist. He's a marathon runner. He said, I couldn't help you with your panic attack. Why don't you start running? So I started running about a couple of miles. My panic attack went away.
Wow. That's amazing.
So I kept running that the first year. I did the 100 mile in within a year. I know nothing about running.
You told me this at Haynesport. So you jumped, you skipped everything. So you started out with 5K, 10K. You haven't even run a marathon, have you?
Never run a marathon.
So you jumped over the marathon, and you didn't jump to 50K as your first ultra, right? Wasn't your first ultra 100K?
50 miles. 50
miles. 50 miler. Okay.
I did not finish. I finished at 50K.
Okay.
And I had an injury.
Right.
So, and then I was pretty upset about it. So I signed up for 100K in 3 months, and I came in third. So I got hooked.
That's crazy. Was that the Pine Creek Challenge?
Yes.
That's awesome. So you finished third at the Pine Creek Challenge in the 100K?
Yeah. Well, by luck, because the weather was really bad. So a lot of people dropped out. And a friend of mine, I met the guy, we finished together like third. Took us a long time, but we survived. Like I learned a few things about, suffering.
Okay. Yeah, no kidding. That's crazy. Wow. So then was it the same year that you wrote and you ran the your first 100, and was that the CNO?
CNO,
Your
yeah.
first. Okay.
Yeah.
So what was that like? I mean, you go from, a 50 miler DNF to 100, a 50K finish to a 100K third place, and now you step into the CNO 100 miler. Did you have any idea what you were getting into?
Oh, no idea. I virtually know anyone that run 100. So I was scared. I was scared, but I just go out there and, do my best. I know I can finish it if I
Right.
stay there long enough.
Yep.
And I went in there with like, I will not stop until I get to the finish line, unless my legs are broken, but it
Right.
wasn't. So it was 90 degrees weather, so a lot of people lost their toenails. I lost 9 of them.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Wow. Because
It
of
was
the
so
heat and
painful.
humidity, or what?
Yes, it's humidity, and then it's just the winner lost 5. So, I was so they give us a duct tape. They run out of the bandages, so we all duct taped the whole foot,
Oh my
and just
gosh.
everyone, pretty much everyone. And
Wow.
yeah, that was pretty rough, but I was so glad I finished it with 18 years old kid from a Navy cadet. And I
Really?
helped him, yes, and took us a long time. He couldn't walk the last 10 miles, so I waited for him for like 4 hours. So we finished together with him.
Wow. And it's not like you didn't finish in a decent time. You finished that one like in 27 something hours, right?
26 something, yeah, 26, 20, yeah, so yeah, I waited for a long time, but it's
That's
great.
crazy.
I survived.
So first 100, you said, okay, that was fun suffering. Let's do it again.
Took me another year. I said that, oh gosh. Yeah. And then my son was pretty young that time, so didn't have much opportunity to run.
Okay.
And but I like 100K, 100K really quick and fast. So yeah, I was hooked for sure.
Yeah, and so I was looking at your ultra sign up. You're fast. So Peter has finished the Pine Creek Challenge in 11 hours, 100K. That's a fast 100K.
Yeah, I wasn't even trying. I didn't know what I'm doing. So I was helping one of my friends running 100 miler first time. So and I was helping. I see every time I see him, like trying to help him, But yeah, it was great. It was a good day,
Okay.
I'm not a runner, so I'm really not a runner.
We saw you not run at Haynesport. So about what you were about 80 miles in, and you caught up to me, and you're like, I've got to get to, no, you had to get to 80 miles.
Miles
I think you were
65.
like around 62, 65 maybe, and you had to get to 100 miles, and you're like, I don't have enough time to do it. And all of a sudden, you took off and started running around that course. And I'm sitting there going, where was this Peter? Where did this guy come from? I mean, you made the 80 miles easy, no problem, in the 24 hours.
All the time, remember how to run that time.
Yep. It's so much fun. So you've done a ton of ultras. Lot up in the New Jersey and Philadelphia area, it seems like, because that's kind of your happy place up there running.
It's hard for me to travel with a family, young family. So I try to stay closer to home. So that's where, like in Northeast, closer to home. I would like to go a little bit farther, like a west, out west,
Okay.
when my son go to college, like 3
Okay.
years. I'm
Cool.
gonna do more like a, like a maybe 300, 400 miles, like
Oh,
races.
cool. I mean, they got that, what is it, the Arizona 300 now.
300 monster, yes. Yeah. I would love to do that. Plus, I would like to tackle Volstagg, you know, all that.
I have a friend who this weekend is like, dude, two of us are already deciding we're going to run Vol State in 2027. You got to do it with us. And I'm like, heat, humidity. I said, you guys are crazy. And they're like, yeah, but you're crazier, so you should just run it with us. I'm like, I don't know if you're going to talk me into that one. So we shall see.
Mike, you can definitely do that. You know, you are the really fast walker. So, like, you just, you know, all you have to do is 50K a day. For a state, like, you can easily do that, right?
In the sleep, in the heat and humidity, it's hot and it's humid and there's bugs and there's blah.
But you do, like, mostly people run it at night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I have many.
So is that the secret? You run it at night?
Yeah, it's like really cold, like, you know, like, and then they slept in the daytime, like most of the, like 12 o'clock, they don't run it anymore. It's just.
Okay, so you go out at sundown and run to the next, you know, sometime early in the morning?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah. I could do that.
Huh. Oh, you're a strong guy. You can do it in his sleep.
Yes, but I'm old. I'm getting old. Well, wait a second. No, I've decided not to grow up, so I'm not getting old. That's crazy. All right. So, how did you end up in Swami Shuffle 200?
Well, your friend Sergio said something about Swami.
I love Sergio.
Sergio said, "Well, Peter, try that. That's a really cool race." I said, "All right." So I signed up with my right hand man, Joe DeAndre. We signed up. He said, let's do this. It's kind of cool. So I showed up. Yeah, like, it's great. Like, before that, you know, Joe and I went to the, or Kaylee Frederick, we went to the Ohio. We ran Buckeye.
Right. You guys all ran Buckeye together. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Okay. So Kaylee was 17 years old. Kaylee Frederick was 17, and, you know, I'm the oldest guy. And then, so we have Live It Taste of 200. That was pretty rough for me because I had a COVID.
Oh,
I was
wow.
really sick from, like, day one. Like, I didn't know I have a COVID. So, but I couldn't eat for, like, 4.5 days. I refused to give up. I just let them go first, and then I had to suffer through, like, 4.5 days.
But you ran all of Buckeye 200. With COVID.
Yeah.
Awesome. That is so awesome. That's amazing.
I couldn't breathe. So I thought I have an allergy, but now I have a fever also. So I was pretty much alone most of the time.
Okay.
Even though we came with a group. Sergio was there. Also, Kaylee, okay. Mom was there also. So yeah, that was the experience. I know I can survive it. Like, when I finished it, I said, man, I was that sick and I survived it. I could do it again, right?
Yeah. Well, you didn't just survive, though. I mean, you finished 15th male and, like, 20th overall. So it's not like you were, you know, wandering in at the last minute. I mean, you did fantastic in it.
I got lucky.
Especially with COVID. Especially with COVID. I mean, that's impressive. That's very impressive. So how far out in front of you were Joe and Kaylee?
Well, Kaylee was, I would say, about 15 hours ahead of me.
Okay.
And, Kaylee was unbelievable. And
yeah.
Joe DeAndre got injury also. So he was a little bit ahead of me.
Okay.
And I just, I was in the back. I was like, I told him, like, please don't wait for me. You know, I'm just going to finish it, like. Going to tough it out. Yeah.
And that's crazy because, I mean, that was before Kaylee was like a household name, right?
Yeah. I run with Kaylee her first 100 in maybe 5 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. She was 16.
So. Wow. That's crazy. Which one was that?
Pine Creek.
Okay. So is Pine Creek a loop course or how does that work?
Three loops.
Okay.
Three
so
loops.
3 30-mile loops.
40, 30, 30.
Okay. Wow. Cool. So you ran with Kaylee at Pine Creek Challenge, and that was her first 100-mile finish, right? And it was the next year, was the next year her first year in Badwater, or was that 2 years later?
2 years later,
Okay.
he was
Wow.
18. So,
Okay. And now she's 20 years old and finished 12th at the US at the World National 24-Hour Championships as an alternate.
unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, unbelievable. Like that's this is one. I'm not surprised, right?
Nah.
One really cool thing about ultra running, like you met so many people, has so many different backgrounds,
Yep.
and it's amazing to see how, we all come together and celebrate, like running or sharing experience, doing our suffering together.
Nope. It's weird because you and I were talking about this at Haynesport. You're rubbing shoulders with legends. You look at some of the people that we start these races with, and it's like, wow, I can't believe I'm like this close to somebody that's that level of eliteness. Like you think about the dude running the 12 hour, the guy who got 82 miles or no, 84 miles in 12 hours. I mean, that dude's going to be a superstar. And like even the guy that won the 200 miler, well, I just found out that he's like won a 72 hour, not the 48 hour, and he's like this legendary runner out of the New Jersey area. And I'm like, I had never heard of him before seeing him run, but you get to be around these absolute just incredible athletes, and it's such an honor and everything. So it's fun. So at Swami in 2024, you and Joe started out, and you were way ahead of me off the beach, I think, weren't you?
Yeah, we started out really strong. I think we didn't sleep well. Like we slept at the public bathroom in middle of the night
Yep.
on a cold floor.
Yep.
Joe, DeAndre, and Bob, three of us in the like little park in the near the bridge, right? So that really took us out. Like I couldn't sleep. Like it was cold. And we was there for like 3 hours. Seems like I didn't get any rest. So like by the time we saw you,
Yep.
we're in a pretty bad shape.
Yeah, I know. When I saw you guys, I was so surprised to come up on you guys at the P. Allen Visitor Center because I was like, I thought you guys were already down by the lighthouse.
We were in a pretty good shape. We came in like well trained, ready to tackle, right? But sometimes things happen.
Nope.
But we so we took it that Airbnb place, we took a nap, and then I saw you really, struggling with your issues.
Yep.
And we thought like, okay, let's get it done, get to the lighthouse. And then Joe got really injured on his shin.
Yep.
So we stopped there, like a mile, like 90 something. He can barely walk.
Right, because I
So,
remember his girlfriend came and just parked the car on the side of the road and he crawled in and went to sleep. And didn't you and Bob continue on to the lighthouse?
yes, we went
Okay.
out to the lighthouse. We slept on the public bathroom again, him and I. It was a bad choice again.
I joined
And
you in that bad choice. You guys were getting up as I was coming in to do the bad choice sleep.
So I left Bob there, and then I went back to the post office. That's where I saw Rich, and then we walked back all the way back to the Airbnb.
Okay. Now, did you
The
guys stop at Muffins and Scones also, or was it not open when you guys went by?
not open. Like we like really like early morning, like
Okay.
we passed. So now I have a plan. Like I said, I'm gonna wait for Joe. No matter what,
Right.
I could have go with you guys, like with Rich. We are Rich and I like it neck to neck then, and
Yeah, you and Rich were booking it, man.
yeah. But I told Joe like I'm not gonna leave him. Like no
Right.
man left behind
Yep.
for me.
Yep. So
So
you
I
waited
waited.
at the house for a while, right?
Yes, he didn't show up. So I told him that I'm going to wait for the other side of the P Island, that Holiday Inn. Yep. So that's when I waited for, like, I don't know, maybe 12 hours, 14 hours.
Wow. So you were there a long time.
Oh, a long time. I was there for a long time. Finally, he showed up, and he can barely walk and with the pole. So we walked back like almost two days, right?
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Wow.
But I'm glad I did it with him because, you know, we had fun, even though he was suffering.
Yeah.
We go really slow. Bob joined us also. And three of us finished together, pretty much.
Yeah. So Richard and I passed. Well, I guess we continued on. You and Joe stopped at Jeanette's Pier, right? And then is that when Richard took off earlier in the morning, probably about an hour and a half, 2 hours before me in the morning. And I remember coming down and you were getting food or something. I don't remember what you were doing in the lobby.
Yeah, I was eating as much as I can.
Right.
We're waiting for Joe. Like, Joe didn't show up for a long time. So,
okay.
I was just waiting around.
Yep. And then I caught up to Richard and talked him into hitting the beach, and you and Joe were smart. you guys were praying we didn't die, right?
That's exactly it. Like, you guys left. I couldn't believe it. I tried to call Rich, like, don't go, whatever you do. The weather is so bad. We stay at one of the bicycle shops that my friend owned in the island. So I reconnected with this friend, like, 20-some years ago, I rode the bicycle down there.
From
Philadelphia to
out of Bangui.
One of my friend, like, took us 2 days. The first day, 200 miles. Second day, 150 miles. We visited that friend, and I haven't spoken for like 20 years. So finally, I said, I'm going back to the race. So I call him, like, hey, are you stay around? He said, yeah. So he met up. He gave us a food, you know, give us a bicycle shop. You can sleep here and then lock the door when you guys done. So, like, it was really save us. Like, the rain coming down, I was like, oh, my gosh. That was cold night. You guys, I don't know how you guys did it. So amazing, amazing.
Insanity. It's good. but now Richard's starting this whole thing where he's like, don't ever take Mike's advice. If he says hit the beach, do not hit the beach. And I'm like, why? We made it to we lived. I mean, we finished. It's all good. It's so much fun.
Story about it. I heard this.
Oh, it was crazy. It was so much fun. We had a blast. Yep. Knew that you could hide out underneath, you know, the homes on the stilts, and that there was a place to get in out of the pouring down and wind, and oh gosh, it was ugly. And then we actually wanted I convinced him to go up in Corova, because at least there we wouldn't be on the beach getting blown to death. We're going in, and he's like, where are we? I said, we're just up in, it's Corova, it's just a little town. He's like, are we adding miles? I was like, oh, no. And we added like 4 or 5 miles, but yeah, I was convincing him we didn't. So it's probably good. Don't take my advice. Yeah.
Mike, that was the smartest thing you guys done, actually. You know, the wind blowing, it's like that. Yeah, that serious issue there.
It was good. We're gonna do it all over again, aren't we, Peter?
Yeah, I cannot wait. So awesome. I was telling my wife about this. Like, should I do the hard way or easy way?
Okay.
Right. Should I take our Mike Edwards way, you know, really take it easy?
Party pace. Yep.
If I should go for broke. You know.
Okay. And you're still trying to decide. Are you trying to decide if you're going to go crude or uncrude?
Oh, uncrude. Like, okay. Nobody come. Yeah. Okay. How about you?
Going uncrude. Yep.
That would be cool, uncrude. Right?
Yeah. It's going to be an adventure again this year. So if you could go out west and do any race, dream race, what would you say it is?
I would love to try Coco Donor.
Okay.
I think that race is like doable. I believe it's like you and I can easily do it with the hiking, right?
Right.
Most of the people hike. If you are the strong hiker, that's why most success like those races.
Yep.
And they got plenty of time to finish it.
So what would you say is like your biggest piece of advice to somebody who is going after their first really long thing, like a 100-miler or 200-miler? What would be the thing from, you know, your experience running these things that you would recommend to somebody?
Okay, I would say like be flexible.
Okay.
Because like the new runner, they mostly came from a marathon background. It's very hard to gauge. They can run really fast marathon. They measure as I can do 3:30 marathon. So 100 miles should be like 14 hours, right?
Yep.
And the pace is like incredible pace. In the beginning, I try to tell them, listen, the first marathon, if you run too fast, second one will be like two times harder.
Uh-huh.
The third marathon is going to be 100 miles, will be like three times harder than the first you did. So the fourth one will be like four times. Like, I don't know you will handle this, right? They said, I have 5 hours. Like, no, after your 26 miles, you're totally broke.
Yeah,
not much left. After 50 miles, like they are destroyed, like totally destroyed. It's very hard to explain to the new runner, never done 100. Like, I know 100 is like pretty hard because like they only give you like 30 hours average.
Yep.
So that's a pretty hard cutoff for people with no experience. And I think so. It's all about mental too. Like, I only visualize the distance and the suffering before I even go to any races. So I'm mentally ready to get beat down. So that part is already done in my mind.
Yep.
And the physical pain, that part, like I never get used to it, but I will manage it most of the time. Like, you know, but my mind is like, I'm not going to give up no matter what. And unless like, you know, harm to my body, like, you know, I might die doing this, I will stop.
And you've got an incredible mindset. I mean, that's one thing that I noticed even, you know, Swami that first time was you've just got a really, really upbeat vibe and a very, very positive mindset. But you're also very realistic. You realize that, you know what, there's going to be some moments in this thing where it's going to stink. You know, there's no better way to put it. And you just got to push through this stinks and I don't like it, period, so that you can get on to finding out what the finish line is. And you do that really, really well.
Well, I'd probably put a happy face on, probably crying inside.
Yeah, that's okay. We all cry a little bit. It's all good. All right. So goal for Swami this year, what would be a realistic goal for Peter?
I would love to finish less than 3 days.
Okay.
If not, then I will finish with Mike Elwitt. Five days.
There you go. 5 days.
I'm really looking forward to it.
It's going to be a blast, man. It's going to be a blast. All right, cool. Well, let's draw this to a close. This way we always close the Living an Ultra Life podcast. You hear Living an Ultra Life. What's the first thing that pops in your mind?
I would say I'm very grateful to do all the thing that, you know, my body let me do it. I'm very blessed to be healthy and pushing through all the suffering and happy to be alive, Mike.
Yeah. Thank you so much for taking some time this evening.
Thank you, Mike. Have a good evening.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.